their horrified faces turned orange by the glare, listening to the shrieks of the horses and men still trapped inside. A violent wind would have been most welcome, if it could have covered that sound. By morning, all that was left of the stable was a smoking ruin. Someone said later that one of the grooms found the remains of a doorknob melted and warped. He held it up to his face and laughed at the strangeness just before he burst into tears. 12 horses and 2 stable hands perished in the blaze. Good and loyal servants all. 12 horses, 2 stable hands, and 1 new maid who had no business in the world being there. They found her amidst the caved-in rafters, her body nestled beneath a fallen pile of planks. They said her dress was torn, and there was blood upon her cheek, but the rest of her was not badly burned, nearly untouched by the fire, as if her youth and beauty had protected her from it. I can't attest to the veracity of these statements. I lacked the heart to go and see. I didn't want to face the steaming carnage of the others lost, those men and gentle horses whose youth and beauty had not been near protection enough. After the fire, cleanup at Baron Park was, as ever, fast and thorough. We'd certainly had enough practice even before Friedrich came into his inheritance and seemed fit to press the limits of debauchery. His parents had been no strangers to balls and soirees, and in summer the grounds were often crowded with guests, stuffed into every room and tucked into every alcove. Their shrieks of laughter kept us awake long into the night, a night we had illuminated for them with hanging lanterns, and in the morning they would snap at us if their empty cocktail glasses clinked together as we cleared them. They were all the same, except for Friedrich. Friedrich never yelled at us or kicked over our mop buckets when they were in the hall. And if we were late or slow or the tables in the billiards room hadn't been cleared of cigar ash, he would only smile and shrug, tug at his sleeves and find another room to lounge in. After his parents died, cruel rumors abounded in the city. Rumors of excess, of nights drinking until dawn, gambling in deep debts. They said he drove his car at speeds that were downright reckless for the twisting, pine-lined roads along the cliffs. But he was only 18. Parents dead in a boating accident. He was newly alone and with so much money. It could be argued that given the circumstances, his behavior was rather restrained. But he was still the reason that maid died in the stables. I saw them go in together, you see. Just past dusk, in that soft light, so the curve of Friedrich's devious smile was still visible, along with the unbuttoned collar of his shirt. He had an open bottle of champagne in one hand, and was leading her forward with the other. He had already taken her hair down, out of its pretty golden twist. She was a terrible maid. Didn't even know how to dust properly, and looked aghast when someone suggested she scrape the dishes clean or empty a trash bin. She had been with us nearly 2 weeks before we gave up and let her do nothing but fold the laundry. What did it matter? Anyone with eyes knew what she had been hired for. Friedrich's first addition to the staff since the loss of his parents, and it was hard to miss her lovely face and the way her curves filled out the uniform. The day after the fire, Friedrich found me as I was reordering a bookshelf that did not need to be reordered, hiding in a deeply interior room, away from the scent of smoke and ashes, the horrific smells of burnt flesh lingering underneath. He looked nearly lost, still in the same trousers from the night before, and his white shirt misbuttoned and streaked with black soot and a little blood. No doubt he had been combing through the wreckage of the stables. "Friedrich," I said to him, as I stepped off the ladder. And his eyes snapped to my face almost angrily, as if surprised to see me standing there, though he would not have been able to miss me when he came into the room. At once his expression calmed, then crumpled, and he ran his hand roughly across his mouth. "Eliza," he said to me. "Of course. Who else would I find now but my Eliza, still working amidst all this madness?" "Have you slept?" "Not a bit." "You must, then. There's still a few hours before supper." I patted the sofa and pulled a soft blanket off a shelf, and he came slouching toward me obediently. He grumbled all the while as I laid him